Good morning, good morning, good morning. I think I need a little more volume here. Okay, good morning. Oh, that's better. Okay, very good. Anyway, good morning. It's time for us to begin because time's moving on. So let's all stand, and we're going to open with a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing. Hallelujah. I'm glad you could all come this morning. You're looking good. Anyway, let's just wait a minute here. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence in the house. We thank you for your people, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, your presence is in them too, Lord. So, Father, but we worship you and praise you. And, Father, we ask your direction. We ask your blessings and your everything, Lord God, that you have for us this morning. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Is everyone ready to praise our magnificent King? He is magnificent beyond words. Hallelujah. I believe. Goodness, hallelujah, in this land that we're living in, hallelujah, and we're singing it to the darkness that we will see the goodness of God,
yeah,
in our region, in our area, hallelujah, yeah. Darkness cannot win, hallelujah,
amen,
hallelujah, because the King is here, hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Proclaim. captured by you. That there is the King. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory and honor is yours, Lord. You alone are worthy. There is the King seated among us. Let every heart receive Him now. Where there is praise, He will inhabit. There will be grace and mercy all around, and every burden will be lifted in His presence. Every trouble
to
much to you, Lord, as your magnificence. We lay all of it down before you, as you are a good, good God who loves us. Yes, you love us. Oh, you love us. You love us, Lord. You love us, you love us, you love us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give our hearts to you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We belong to you, Lord. Our hearts belong to you. Let praises rise from the inside, from the inside of me. May you deal. sing holy, hallelujah. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Your love surrounds us every day. Your love surrounds us every day. By the power of your love, I'm saved. By the power of your love, I'm redeemed. By the power of your love, I'm set free. It's the power of your love that you'll run after us, and you'll never stop. You'll never stop running after us. 'Cause your love pursues us. Your love never fails, Lord. Your love never fails. Oh, it's the power of your love that I'm changed and I'm renewed. It's the power of your love that I'm set free. It's the power of your love. Whispers in the night. It sings to you in the night and in the darkest places. The power of his love will win victories every time for you. Rest in his love for you. Rest in his love. You are the faithful one, never changing and always there. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and that your love never stops. It continues on every day in the lives of everyone here, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that right now, even right now, you're surrounding them with your love. So we just honor you as the faithful God who's always watching over us. We just thank you, Lord. We just worship you. Thank you. Thank you, faithful one. Thank you, faithful one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. You are so faithful. You are so faithful. Your love never ends and it never fails. Hallelujah. And he's in us in the valley. Oh, he's with us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just want to end it there with, he is faithful. He is faithful. Hallelujah.
Well, thank you, praise and worship team. That was awesome. Always good to worship the Lord. So happy Pentecost Sunday, everybody. This is the day we celebrate, the day of Pentecost. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be in the upper room when that all happened? Woo-hoo! Talk about glorious. So I listened to John Bevere this morning, and he was speaking on the Holy Spirit. And one thing he said is that we don't honor him enough. He said, if you've been rejected at church or if you've been ignored, just go talk to the Holy Spirit because he knows all about that. So we say, thank you, Lord, that we honor the Holy Spirit in this house. Amen. Just want to say welcome to our online people. And always good to... And we've got a visitor, too, today. We've got somebody visiting. Marilla's got her daughter here, so good to have you. Both you girls. Nothing like being home with Mom for a few days. I just want to remind the ladies that next month, the ladies' meeting is going to be the third Saturday of the month instead of the second, just because of other things that are happening. But it's only from 10 till 12 on a Saturday morning. And if you can come and bring a friend if you want, I mean, it doesn't cost you anything, and you just get your socks blessed off. So just, you know, be sure and do that. Come and join us. And we've got a goal in mind, so, you know, you need to be here to know just what that is. And it's going to be good. Now, I just wonder, has anybody got something you want to share?
Thanks for just what you said about Pentecost. So on this Pentecost celebration, I was reflecting back on all of the ways that Holy Spirit has moved in my life, because I was brought up in a Christian home, but I really didn't know anything about Holy Spirit until later on in my life. And he works in our lives in so many different ways and according to each one of us individually. And I was remembering one conference that I went to when this was unfamiliar to me. And the speaker was calling out different words of knowledge. And he called out somebody who's got fire in your ears. And I could feel the fire going from ear to ear. And I just kind of stood there. And he kept saying, come on forward. So finally I got brave and I went forward onto the stage. And he said, why, you know, what's your need kind of thing, right? And I just opened my mouth. I didn't say one word. He didn't touch me. And I just went flat on my back. And that was totally new for me. And it was like this heavenly encounter with the Lord where I could just literally see the whole universe and all of the stars of heaven shining down. And I just lay there just soaking in the anointing and the presence of the Lord that I had never, ever experienced before. And I went to get up, and I couldn't get up. There was a force that I believe was an angel just pushed me right back down. And I thought, you know, I can't take up this stage space here. I'll try this again. I tried to get up three times. I tried to get up, and this angel just pushed me right back down. And when I got off the stage, I couldn't even walk. I had to crawl up the aisle. It was a center. I had to crawl up the aisle, but I was laughing so hard. I never experienced that before. And I discovered, and more, that, you know, often we criticize what we don't know or what we haven't experienced. And if you've ever thought, what were those, you know, like the Toronto blessing or whatever revival it is, and you think, oh, they were just nuts there. That was not what the Holy Spirit does. Well, we don't want to limit Holy Spirit for what he does. That laughter and laughter's other times have so set me free from trauma, from whatever I was going through. The Holy Spirit knew what I needed. Sometimes it's crying. Sometimes it's just being silent. Sometimes it's having a prophetic word, whatever it is. But I just want to honor Holy Spirit today. And I just want to celebrate Holy Spirit in my life and in our lives. And so we just honor you, Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Thank you. That's what I had written down here. We need to honor him. Praise the Lord. Andrea?
I just realized something this morning, that I've been here for 10 years. I can't believe it's been 10 years that I've been with you guys. And so I just wanted to honor you guys as a church for loving me and taking care of me and having me as a family. So I just wanted to let you know on my 10-year anniversary, I guess, that you guys have put up with me for this long.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Okay, so I think that's it. Just a moment. I've got one more thing I have to say. Thank you, Mary, for the beautiful, beautiful job you do of the arrangements and the decorations here. It's just awesome. Thank you so much. And Jan's got something to share.
Well, the Holy Spirit has got a theme this morning, and it's honor. And I'm going to read, it says Acts 9:36. You don't have to open it, just you can listen. Now there was at Joppa a woman named in Aramaic Tabitha, which in Greek means Dorcas. She was abounding in good deeds and acts of charity. Now, we have, this body has been blessed, and I'm sure there are others as well, but we have been tremendously blessed by a disciple just like that. She should have been here today, but the enemy just didn't want her. But we honor Teresa. She just had a birthday, and I just decided to get a cake, and if you haven't signed the card, there is a card. But she was attacked last night in the physical, and just so keep her in prayer. But afterwards, I would love for you to have a piece of cake. I couldn't find the biggest. I wanted a really big cake, couldn't find one, so just whatever. But if you would like, I'm videoing some messages like you could send to her, because She's physically couldn't be here because the enemy attacked her. So if you wanted to send a greetings or a belated birthday or whatever, I'm going to, you know, send it to her or take it to her or whatever, because we need to encourage one another, and she is one that needs to be honored in the body. And we love you, Teresa, if you're watching, and we just want to honor you today. Amen.
Good morning. Well, you're going to look at your neighbor and tell them they're amazing. It's getting a little better. You're amazing. You're amazing. So, what do we got going on here? Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. So what if I told you we already have everything we need right here, right now? Would you believe me? I don't believe anything I say, because I might be trying to hoodwink you. But you should believe the word. And I say, well, how is that? How is that even possible? Because it was provided before you ever needed it. Some of you might need to write that down. And it says, of course, I'm taking up the offering, but everything in the Word of God doesn't only deal with one subject at a time. It fits to every spiritual need that we have, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's spiritual. It's all the same. And it says, for His divine power has bestowed upon us all things. Not just some things. All things. And it says, and that are requisite and suited for life, to life and godliness, through the full and personal knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence, which means virtue. It says, by means of these, He has bestowed on us His precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you might escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and the corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, of, you know, greed and lust and all those things, and become partakers of the divine nature. And I'm reading that from the Amplified Version. The Passion is really good too. It lines up really well. And so here, and here goes on, and that's why the cups are here. It says, for this very reason. Now, it has the word here adding. You can't add anything to your faith, just so you know. That word there, add, means to look. It means a conductor. It means it's already there. Like, you can't add to your faith. It says He's given us all things. So you go study that out for yourself, reading what that word adding to your diligence to the divine promises. Employ every effort in exercising your faith. Develop. So in your faith comes virtue. It's in here. And so, excellent resolution, Christian energy, exercising virtue, develop knowledge. You can, it's already in there. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control, steadfastness, patience. It's already in there. And developing godliness. It's already in there. And the last one. In exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop love. So, these are all in us. By who? We don't need to add anything. It's all there. They are all added in. They came as a package. So whatever need you have, it was already met at the cross. Everything. Amen? So I want to encourage you. So often we're always looking for something, always trying to find it. It was already achieved. It was already provided for before we ever had the need for it. God knows. You see, the only thing that we have is right now. Right now. So we need to enjoy our lives now. Not tomorrow. There's no circumstance or situation that should lead us in any other way. And I'm going to leave that there. So whatever your need is, whatever provision, it was already provided for before we needed it. Father, I thank you that you know us and that you have given us your divine power. The Lord is on the inside of us, and everything there is contained within us because you live in us. And you said that it's our faith that moves. So God, thank you today for your provision, for everything that you have established, for every need that we would ever have. In Jesus. Amen. I'll just leave this on, Mary.
Jerry and Agatha, maybe you can just hand out the elements before you sit down. Thank you. I'm just going to talk while they're handing out the elements. So if you're online, we are going to have communion. So if you have to run and go get your elements to join us, then do that because it's good to join us. Anyways, so I'm just going to start with what happened yesterday. And actually, God told me all week, Mary, you're supposed to do communion. So I said, okay, and all week I've been, and, you know, it was awesome because I knew that in my heart. And Pastor Mal said to me on Friday after our prayer time, said, Mary, you know what? He says, I'm going to preach and you can do communion. And I was rejoicing because my prayer was like, Lord, if I'm supposed to do communion, then work it out. Because I was supposed to preach at first and then he was going to do communion. But anyways, on Friday it just switched. But I knew because he had been speaking to me all week that you're supposed to do communion. So anyways, yesterday morning, thank you. Okay, so anyways, everyone knows that I was away last week because I wasn't feeling good. And I actually have been taking communion all week. But yesterday morning, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. And I actually wasn't feeling very good again yesterday. And I thought, what the stink is this, you know? So I would... But I felt like Lord, you know, I have to press against this thing. Like sometimes we got to press against what the enemy wants to do in our lives. And so I would go outside and I would work a little bit, and then would come back in and I'd sit on the couch, and it just kept, and there was such a heaviness on me yesterday. It was awful. It was just such a weight of heaviness. And so anyways, this continued all day. And in my mind, I kept thinking, like, Lord, what do you want me to say for communion? Like, what do you want me to talk about in communion? And it was on my heart, like, actually all week, but it was really on my heart yesterday because I needed something for this morning. And so anyways, at 7 o'clock, because I'd woken up so early in the morning, it was 4:30, and I'm not a 4:30 in the morning wake up. Like 6:30 is early, but I am not a 4:30 in the morning person. Anyways, so by 7 o'clock, I was really tired. And I thought, God, I don't have anything from communion. And I'm just so tired. I'm just going to go to bed. And so I did that. I actually went and I laid down in bed. And the Lord said, Mary, get up. Don't go to bed right now. And I thought, he said, even if you have to stay awake for a couple hours, just go and do the dishes or vacuum or whatever, right? And so I thought, oh, so I was obedient. I thought, okay, so I went and I did dishes. Now, I know you're probably thinking, what does this have to do with communion? But just hang on. So, thank you. So anyways, I got up and I did that. I cleaned the house And then after I cleaned the house, and because I had been taking communion all week, I thought, I'm just going to get my communion ready, and I'll take communion, then I'll go to bed. And, you know, it'll be around 9 o'clock, so can I go to bed then, Lord, you know, kind of thing. And so I did. I cleaned up, and I got my communion. And I sat on the couch, and I literally, the weight still was really on me. And I still really wasn't feeling very good. And I just sat there, and I thought, God, I'm so weak. Like, I just was so honest. I thought, Lord, I'm so weak, and I don't even know what you want this to tomorrow morning. And I'm no kidding. I took the bread in my hand, and I sat there, and I just started to pray and to thank God for communion, for the bread and for the body and the blood of the wine. And his presence came and broke everything in an instant over me. It just literally lifted. So I'm here to tell you this morning that there is power in taking communion. And anyways, and so what the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to remind my people, and especially I believe in this day and in this hour, how important. Now, I know some people, I don't know whether they even know that you can take communion at home. Because I believe some people just come to church on Sunday and take communion. But God is saying, we need to have communion as part of our worship and part of that intimacy at home. And it has to be a part of the altar that we have at home. That's how important the covering of the blood is and taking the bread is in this hour. So it was like a warning, remember the blood. Remember the blood. Remember the blood. It was the blood that covered their homes when the angel of death wanted to destroy. Remember the blood. And I thought, even this week, you know, like Pastor Mel being sick and I was sick and I would hit Teresa. Like, we got to cover one another with the blood. It's so important to pray for one another, and not just each other. Like, over our families, over our circumstances. And the Lord said to me, Mary, he says, remember the blood no matter what you're going through. If you're physically sick, he said, remember the blood. He said, if you're emotionally sick, he said, remember the blood. He said, if you're going through a tough situation or a tough circumstance, he said, remember the blood. We got to remember the blood no matter what it is that we're going through. Now, I believe that I believe that God allowed that to really show me the power in the blood yesterday. Because I'm telling you, it instantly, the enemy, he defeated the enemy with the blood. It, one drop of blood defeated everything that the enemy. And we sang this morning about the king. This king that was spotless. He was a spotless Lamb of God, just robed himself. And he walked to that cross. And he took not just our sin. He took our sickness. He took our shame. He took our disease. He took our weakness. He took it all. There's not one thing that we're going to be able to stand before him and say, well, I didn't think. No, it's not going to be like that. He took it all. Anything that we're going through, anything that we're wrestling with, he took it all. And he didn't deserve to take it. And because I've been taking communion all week, I thought, Lord, you know, I don't even know. I know my sin, and I know of some sin that's going on. But, you know, God says, you have no idea, because there's some sin that is so unimaginable that you can't even imagine what he took on that cross. We can't imagine some of the stuff that's going on. It's so dark. That's the kind of king that went to the cross for all human beings. He was a king, and he literally disrobed himself, and he went to the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's the gospel message of God. You know, and if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, you know, like, open up your heart and receive him, because he's already done the work. Or if you're online and you're listening, open up your heart, because he's already done it. And all he wants to do is come in and make you brand new. And that's what we have been made, is brand new. But anyways, when I was reading, I just need some Kleenex. So when I was reading 1 Corinthians, he really highlighted the word remembrance. And in the Greek, it means anamnesis. And it says, and this is what it says, and it's in the Greek. It says, not in a memory as if remembering a deceased loved one, but in an affectionate calling of the person himself to mind. This, you know, I think that we have to be careful that we don't just get into a dead ritual of taking communion. God says, I want your heart in it. Want your heart in it. So it's an affectionate calling of the person himself to mind. Of the remembrance of sin. This is not just an external bringing to remembrance, but an awakening of the mind and a heartfelt conviction. God is really saying it's got to be heartfelt. Like, this thing has to be passionate when we take communion. And the dictionary, that was in the Greek, but in a dictionary, it says to remember is to keep in mind for attention or consideration, to retain in the memory or to bring to mind and think of it again. And God is just saying, like, be mindful of the blood every day, every day. And another thing he said to me, I'm not going to turn there because of time, but do you remember when the two walked on the road to Emmaus? And they were walking, and Jesus hooked up with them and said, like, why are you so downcast? And, you know, they said, well, are you the only one in town that doesn't know what's been going on? Because Jesus had just been crucified. And so they're walking, and then Jesus starts teaching them, well, you know, this is what was supposed to happen to the Messiah. Like, are you guys so ignorant that you don't remember what the scripture's saying? Anyways, so finally they get to their place where they were walking to. And it says that their heart, like, come, Jesus. Well, they didn't know it was Jesus. He had hidden himself. So anyways, they got to their home and they said, like, come in. Like, please come. Like, continue to speak to us. And so Jesus said, yeah, okay. And it said that as soon as they sat down to have, it says they started to break the bread and drink the wine. And they started to have communion. And it says their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus. What happened to me last night, you see, I did not know what God wanted me to speak on communion. But as soon as I sat down, my eyes were opened, and he gave me what I needed to speak about this morning. So there's revelation to be had as we sit down. And so he's saying, remember the blood, because there's some circumstances that you're going through. He says, remember the blood, because I'll give you revelation. There's some sickness. Remember the blood, because I'll give you the route to take. Because there's some places that our eyes have to be opened in. That you can take these words and you could just go home and forget everything I said. Or you really can take it to heart and remember the blood. Remember to take communion. Are you guys all okay? Okay, well, so I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 11:24. Or 23, actually. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus. On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you disrobed yourself. And Lord, I thank you that your body was broken so that we can be free, so we can be whole. God, that we can have deliverance and healing. Lord, there's nothing that was left undone. I thank you, God, that you said that by my stripes you are healed. And Father, I just pray, Father, for anyone here, even in this house or online, Father, I rebuke the sickness off of them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for the healing virtue that came through the broken body of Jesus Christ to flow down over them. Father, bringing healing, bringing deliverance. Oh God, bringing insight. Father, even this morning as they partake of your blood and body this morning. And so, Father, I thank you that, God, this is a supernatural act. And I thank you, Lord, as we partake this morning, that, Father, you will bring that insight, Father, that each one needs. And I thank you, God, for it in Jesus' name. Let's have the body. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, I thank you, God, we remember you this morning. And God, there's great joy, oh God, on the inside. Lord, we can have joy, God, on this side, that no longer, God, the blood is just applied over them, but God, the blood of Jesus Christ, it's a new covenant, oh God. And Lord God, now this blood, Lord, we partake, and it comes right on the inside of us, and it changes everything. Lord, I thank you for the King that lives on the inside of us, Lord. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the power of your blood, Lord. One drop, oh God, changes everything. And so we thank you, Father, for the healing virtue, God, that flowed to each vessel. And as they partake, God, supernaturally, as they partake of your blood, that God, that healing, Father God, is going to flow. And God, deliverance is going to come, even to the mind this morning in Jesus' name. That your healing is going to come, Father. That crooked places are going to be made straight, oh God. And I thank you, God. We honor the broken body, and we honor the blood shed for us this morning. And I thank you, God, for that in Jesus' name.
Man. Kind of strange of what I'm going to be talking on, and I kind of wonder too, but Lord laid this on my heart. Talk about His mercy. Mercy. How many of us need mercy? Mercy and grace. Hallelujah. I don't know where my preaching is going to take me, but I'm just going to try to follow the Holy Spirit here as I'm speaking. Hallelujah. And I want to turn. I was reminded, I should say, of the word in Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8. What it says. It says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Does He require of you? There's three things. He says, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Do justly and to love mercy. That is describing Jesus right there, isn't it? If it was His mercy and grace actually that brought us to Him, right? It brought us to Him. It is not a thing that happened by chance. I'll say that. You are here, sitting in this audience, not by chance, but you were drawn. You're drawn by the Holy Spirit. actually drawn into this fellowship and His fellowship, right? We're so blessed. You know that that word mercy is mentioned, pertaining to it anyway, 250 times in the Bible. Well, maybe the Lord is trying to tell us something. It's about His mercy. Hallelujah. You know, in Matthew 9:13, Jesus said, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." He doesn't desire sacrifice, but mercy. But, you know, this verse is not pertaining as much to salvation. I should say that this is pertaining to salvation. It's speaking to the world, to the unsaved, right? That's who He's speaking to, right? Not to the saved. Because that's what He said. He says, I should actually turn there. Matthew 9. He says, "For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is not for the righteous. This is for the calling of the Holy Spirit to each heart. Hallelujah. So the Lord Jesus showed His mercy when he gave His life on the cross. He showed His mercy, grace, right? And so that should be demonstration for us. Because we are now the body of Christ, right? So we should be doing the same thing. And you know, of course, Jesus was moved with compassion. That's true too. But mercy covers all that, right? Love and compassion. And that's how Jesus reached the lost. Is by compassion, love, mercy. So we should be showing the same thing, right? We should show others. We should show the lost. We should be merciful to them. No matter what they look like, no matter what they do, we should show our mercy to them. Remember, Billy Graham had a song out called "Come As You Are," right? Without a plea, come. And you know, so that's the beckoning of the Holy Spirit. Mercy is not a demanding thing. When He says, "Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden," says, "and I will give you rest." So all those out there, the world, and we ourselves learned by experience that is true. As we came to Him, we found rest, didn't we? Rest that nobody or nothing else could give, but His rest. That's what the Lord requires us of us. show mercy. Hallelujah. His mercy is saying, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, but my mercy is reaching out to you. Because without shame, without any condemnation, I give my mercy to you. I was reminded by that old hymn that we sing. Mercy is falling. Remember that song? Mercy is falling all over me. Mercy is falling. It's falling. In Psalm 123:3, psalmist is crying out, and have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we are filled with contempt. And it is just like the blind beggar standing by the side of the street when Jesus came through. He says, Lord, have mercy on me. Can't you see my need? Have mercy. Sometimes we cry. We cry that too. But sometimes we have needs, right? And we need to cry out to Him. Lord, have mercy on us. It says there in Psalm 123:3, it says, we are filled with contempt. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we are filled with contempt. So what does the word contempt mean? Contempt, and the world is full of contempt all around you. It means the lack of respect or reverence for something that is good and wholesome. Where do you see that? See that in our society today, in our families. In our government. You see contempt all over the place. It is widely displayed in our society these days. A disrespect for anything that's good. Right? Disrespect for anything that's good. They will sneer at the good things. You tell them about the Lord, and they'll sneer at it. There is a scripture in, where is it? Second Timothy 1:16. Turn there. There's an epistle there, or what do you call it? Second Timothy 1:16. Where am I? And this is talking about the story of what is it? Onesimus, Onesimus. I can't pronounce. I always have trouble with that name. Anyway, he's the one that came to Paul in prison. Yeah. And in verse 16 there of 2 Timothy 1, it says, "The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesimus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains." So here's a guy that went right into prison, where Paul was, right? And ministered to him. He ministered to him, showing mercy and compassion. It says in verse 17 there that when he did come to the prison, he says, "He arrived in Rome and he sought me out very zealously and found me." Now, just picture this. And this one, Marissa, I'm going to call him Oni. Is that okay? Simplify things. I can't say that name. Okay, Oni went to prison, and he looked for Paul. You know, I think the prison that he was in, maybe there were many, many prisoners there. Who knows how many? And so sometimes we just picture Paul, you know, he's together in this prison by himself. Well, that might not be the case. There might have been many, many prisoners there, right? But Paul was one of them. He was bound with chains and dressed in certain prison garments and probably was shown no respect of who he really was. Nobody regarded him as being somebody special, right? Because of the way the guards would treat them. You know how they would treat Paul? They would probably spit on him and you name it. What they would do to Paul. But it doesn't matter what Paul was going through. And Onesimus, only there, he didn't care. He went, found Paul. I don't know how long it took him, but he found Paul and he went and he ministered to him. Right? Maybe most everybody else was probably sneering at him. And even in prison, you know, you have bad things happen. You know, you would think that a prisoner, especially a lot of those prisoners were sent there to die, like Paul was, you would think that they would have a heart change, right? Because they might be facing death tomorrow. You know, you would think that it would change a person's heart. But it really doesn't. Only Jesus can change our heart, right? Yeah. Onesimus, he ministered to Paul. You know, that was a prison, physical prison. Prison that you were in, prison that you were sent to because of maybe you broke the law or something, but you're in that prison there for something wrong you did against the government or the law. And you know you had to pay the price. You're there. You had to pay the price. But as I was thinking of the word prison, I'm thinking, you know, there's not only one kind of prison. There's also a prison of our mind. Here. Sometimes the prison is here, or in the circumstances we find ourselves in. right? And one of the greatest one, the worst one, is I believe is depression. We have experiencing great depression in mind. I know I experienced depression one time. It was awful. My, it just like it captivates your whole body, and it just. I think depression is one of the worst things for your health. You find yourself depressed, get out of it as quick as you can. What is the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you know, when I was in a state of depression, I called on the Lord. I said, Lord, help me. I need help out of this. I was like I was in a cage. I said, Lord, help me. I'm in this cage here. I want out. Because depression can keep you in a state of mind that is awful. You know, no wonder people that are depressed take drugs and alcohol or whatever, because they need a way of escape. They're trying to find a way of escape, but you know that drugs and alcohol is the wrong way. Drugs and alcohol is not the way. I think you got a problem now. You're going to have more problems with drugs and alcohol. So that is not the way. Hallelujah. So what does the Bible say about the way? Of course, we all know that. Jesus says, I am the way. Truth and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, speaking about salvation. But he is the way in all of our life, right? In every circumstance, he is the way. He knows the way. He knows the right way we should take, right? Not the way of drugs and alcohol or whatever. Kind of you find yourself trying to ease your depression. But Jesus says, I am the way. So when I ran to the Lord that day, I was immediately relieved from my depression. Because, you know, I refocused. I refocused my thinking, mind, from that prison. And I said, Jesus, I need your help. And you know, when I said that, that prison door opened. He was the way out. I don't know how many people here have ever experienced depression, but it is a prison. It's a prison. Tell you. You don't want that. That's the worst kind. I hope anybody here, if you're here and you're suffering depression, we can pray, you can be freed from that prison. Jesus says, I am the way. Max, can you go to the piano? Because I'm going to close my sermon here. Oh, Darlene. I'm so used to Max doing it, you know, that I forget. Sorry about that. Yeah. So we're just going to, let's just stand. Let's stand. We're just going to wait on the Lord a little bit, okay? And maybe sing a song or two. But you know, and if there's nobody here that needs prayer or anything like that, well, that's good too. That's really good. You know, that's what the church is all about, right? The body of Christ, it should be a place of where people are healthy, right? Yeah. You got a song actually you can sing? I always put her on the spot. That's my excuse.
Out wandering, but thy blood was shed for me on the cross. Come to thee, O Lamb, God, I come.
I come. The Lord knows your need before you even have it. But He likes us to acknowledge and bring Him into right into that situation. You know, as we do that, I think we find a release in our spirit. But if nobody here has that need, okay, we just make the prayer line or the prayer time available to everyone in our church. Helen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I have to give this word. I felt when we were worshiping, and I'm standing here, but there's somebody over in this section over here. The Lord says, and I don't know who this is for, but the Lord says that I could hear, it's a woman, and I could hear your worship. And I just kept hearing it and hearing it, and the Lord said, I want you to tell them that... if you will worship me like that all the time, he says, I'm going to undo some stuff in your life. And I don't know who that's for, but worship is a key. And you're going to know who you are, this word. You're going to know who you are. And God says, worship me. Worship me at home. Just continue to worship me because I'm going to undo some stuff. There's some things that you're wrestling with. He said, I'm going to do. And it's somebody on this side of the room. So anyways, that word is for you. And I just wanted to be obedient. Give it.
Thank you, Mary. Oh, Father, I ask your blessing on the people as they leave here, Lord God. Watch over them. Lord, protect them, Father, until we come meet again. Father, I thank you that, you know, that the church, us together, cooperatively, it's like an umbrella. Umbrella we're under God's protection, right? So it's very important that you're here this morning and that you come every Sunday. And you come under that umbrella of His, right? God bless you and have an awesome Sunday. Amen.